This is ESPN 580 Orlando's Live, Local, and Loud.
Hey, welcome back. It's Live, Local, and Loud here on ESPN 580. We're broadcasting from the Victory Casino Cruises Studios, home of the only legal sports book in Central Florida. You can get in touch with the show at 844-225-5580. The text is 21232. Also on Twitter, at ESPN 580 Nick and at the Jerry Daniels. Coming up in just a moment, we'll get to the ESPN 580 Daily Rewind, where we take you through the day's sports conversation. In case you missed a report earlier today, the Orlando Sentinel's Josh Robbins breaking the news that the Magic will send two members to represent the organization up for the NBA draft lottery coming up in a couple of weeks. Frank Vogel will be on the stage during the telecast. We'll see the Orlando Magic head coach there when it is announced what pick the Magic have. And Pat Williams will be back behind the stage during the actual selection of the ping pong balls, working his Pat Williams magic as Orlando enters the lottery with the fifth worst record in the NBA, the fifth best odds, I guess is how I should put it, at getting the top pick in the NBA draft. Pat Williams will be in the back room there. So we will see those two guys during the draft lottery. I don't think Frank Vogel expected to be there, but we'll see where it ends up as the Magic look to kind of...
What other face do they have to send?
I was going to make the same point, actually. You jump in with that. That's kind of it, right? I mean, the Magic are selling the one thing they have to sell. It's their coach, right? You can't really send... They don't have a franchise player. Like, you can't send Aaron Gordon there, right? Like, other teams, they can send... I think Anthony Davis was there 1 year, maybe, or... You know, like if Milwaukee ends up being that bad, maybe you send Giannis Antetokounmpo or something. Like if you're a franchise player, maybe you can do it if you're in the back end of the lottery. But, I mean, Frank Vogel is the only guy that you have to sit out there and put out there front and center and kind of trust in Frank. That's where we're at.
Do you send maybe like Shaq?
No, because I don't like Shaq has ownership with the LA Kings, right? And he can't be a representative of the Orlando Magic. Same thing with like Grant Hill or someone like that.
Penny?
Well, we had Nick Anderson on with Scott Inez earlier. Maybe you said Nick Anderson, former number one pick in the lottery, right? I mean, former first round pick for the Orlando Magic, not number one pick, but you know, maybe someone like that. But that's the only guys you have. 844-225-5580. Text is 21232. It is Live, Local, and Loud. He's Jerry Daniels. I'm Nick Reynolds. Let's get to the Daily Rewind.
Nick and Jerry weigh in on the day's sports conversation. It's the Daily Rewind.
Start in the morning with Mike and Mike. They're on from 6 to 10 a.m. A big thanks to Mike Greenberg joining Scott Inez earlier today on the show. You can go to ESPNOrlando.com and hear that interview in its entirety. Today, Greeny and Golic talking about Sidney Crosby playing in the NHL playoffs and the kind of the taboo nature of him playing with these concussions and still taking a ton of shots to the head.
Most people are aware of Sidney Crosby, who was the biggest star in the sport, and that he missed a game in this series with a concussion, and he came back in this one, and they talked all about the same way you hear in every single sport. The doctors cleared him, and once they made the decision, everything is okay. There is a play in the game last night where he gets hit, he goes head first into the boards and stays down, skates off under his own power. And after the game, the story comes out that he was never evaluated for a concussion. He said afterwards that he had the wind knocked out of him, and that's why he stayed down the way that he did. And look, who am I to say that, you know, they have spotters in there just like the NFL.
They had the independent people as well, that the independent people could have stopped the game and pulled him off the ice.
But Mike, if this was the NFL and that exact situation happened, people would be losing their minds today.
Mike and Mike, 6 to 10 a.m. here on ESPN 580. Not even the NFL. I think they're exactly right. If what happened to Sidney Crosby last night happened in the game of football, our old friend Danny Cannell, and I miss hearing him every day here on ESPN 580, would be talking about the people that kind of are raging against football, the war on football, right? We saw this at Michigan during, was it Brady Hoke's final year?
Yeah.
Right, Brady Hoke, was it Jake Rudock or one of the quarterbacks? He sent that kid out there after he was woozy, and everyone lost their minds, and I believe as they should. And I was sitting at Gators Dockside last night enjoying some all-you-can-eat wings, as you normally can on Monday nights at Gators Dockside, and I watched that hit. And it made me uncomfortable because I knew about the head injuries that Sidney Crosby has had in his career. And now I feel as if almost he's a marked man in the NFL. I mean, in the NHL, that is. Other players, no. You knock that guy around a little bit, maybe he won't get up again because he has had all those head injuries.
It's 100% what's going on there. And I think the only reason why the Washington Capitals are in the conversation is because of the hit earlier in the series. And I know that both Crosby, the Penguins, and the NHL knew if they wanted this series to go to seven and they wanted to give the Penguins a fair shake at it, everybody had to look the other way. That's horrible, but that's exactly what happened last night.
Capitals roll. We're headed to a Game 7. That game is in Washington. We'll see who wins that. That game is tomorrow night. It is the Daily Rewind here on ESPN 580. We take you through the day's sports conversation on Live, Local, and Loud. The Dan Le Batard Show on from 10 to 1 here on ESPN 580. Today, Dan and Stu had former NBA player. You can also see him on The Jump on ESPN from time to time, Steven Jackson. And Steven Jackson was talking about the recent comments we heard from Toronto shooting guard DeMar DeRozan. He wasn't a fan of all the praise DeMar DeRozan was giving LeBron James.
That is the softest, I don't want to play, I'm scared to compete, I'm scared of him. That is the weakest thing I ever heard from an NBA player. Like, okay, so all you're saying is, okay, LeBron's getting better every year, and I'm not?
Steven Jackson on the Dan Le Batard Show, 10 to 1 here on ESPN 580. Jerry, you hear DeMar DeRozan say, hey, if we had LeBron on our team, we'd win too, and also, I'll pay anyone $100 if they can tell us how to stop LeBron. Does it sound soft to you, or does it sound respectful?
It sounds whiny. I didn't get soft at all out of it. I just got whiny. It's like, you know, what am I going to do? I got LeBron James over there. I didn't like the comments. I thought he was intending to be respectful to maybe the greatest guy in the game, but it was so whiny.
I made this point last night on Monday Night with Nick and Company that LeBron has hit a stage now. He's hit that MJ level where players in the moment around him are realizing, they're paying homage, they're recognizing greatness in the same room. And I did not get it as soft. I got it as a guy frustrated, a guy who's been eliminated from the playoffs the last two or three years by LeBron James, a guy who is ready to throw in the towel because he knows we can't beat that guy. And
yeah, but did you ever hear Barkley say those words?
No, the NBA has changed in that fashion. Like, I do believe
Barkley's whole career was altered by Michael Jordan.
Barkley, Ewing, Reggie Miller. LeBron is doing the same thing that Michael Jordan did during his career, where he blacked out an entire generation of great NBA players from winning a title. Like, Paul George might never win a ring. He's a very good player. DeMar DeRozan, Kyle Lowry. Look at the Eastern Conference. I mean, there's a report Kyle Lowry, and we're going to talk about this later, may go to the Western Conference, because at least since 2010, four teams have made it to the finals in the Western Conference. For the East, one guy. LeBron James teams. One freaking guy. And it's the same thing with Michael Jordan, where he blotted out an entire generation of guys winning titles. Alonzo Mourning, same kind of thing.
Can he just go play baseball for like a
couple that's
years?
What I mean, that's what happened, right? Jordan got bored. The Dan Le Batard Show, 10 to 1 here on ESPN 5. I didn't think it was soft, though. I thought it was respectful. I thought it was a guy paying homage.
But he was a little whiny.
Yeah, well, I mean, Steven Jackson played in more macho era of the NBA, anyway, where he's going to call guys out. The Ryan Russillo Show, 1 to 4 here on ESPN 580. He was speaking today about that kind of awkward 2008 Celtics title reunion on Area 21 on TNT last night.
Like, how can Ray, like, how can you not get over your issues and at least let Ray Allen be there when he was such a big part of this team's success over those years? And all these guys are completely fine. What they told us last night on television is we're fine not ever dealing with him again. That's weird. And it's so rare that you go, I guess whatever my opinion is irrelevant unless it's in line with these guys that were his teammates. If all of these guys that played with him are this comfortable on national television telling you, yeah, Ray Allen, whatever, man. Like, we're over it. We haven't talked to him. Maybe one day we run into him. But as of right now, he's on the outs and maybe on the outs forever. Like, what position could I possibly take other than to agree with them?
Ryan Russillo Show, 1-4 here on ESPN 580. I thought the oddest thing about that Celtics reunion last night was not just that Ray Allen wasn't there, but the fact that they eagerly took pot shots at him, that they openly opined about Ray leaving that team, and they did not give Ray Allen really the chance to defend himself. Now, Ray did comment on it, if you can call it that. He posted, you know, some passive-aggressive social media message with a picture of him in a Miami Heat jersey playing against Rajon Rondo, but when KG and Paul Pierce and all those guys are so openly, as Ryan Russillo said, kind of just banging on the guy for leaving, not having him there to defend himself, I do take issue with that, because I'd like to see somebody have some equal time to say, this is why I made this call. Not to mention, all right, and Paul Pierce made a point, well, you know, we just wanted Celtics here. Paul Pierce played for the Clippers. Paul Pierce got traded to the Brooklyn Nets. Kevin Garnett got traded to the Brooklyn Nets. By the way, those guys don't get traded if they don't sign off on it. Like, those guys had enough standing in that organization with Danny Ainge where I believe they need to sign, especially Paul Pierce, the truth. He had to sign off on it. Glenn Big Baby Davis was there for, like, I don't know, 4 years? He played for the Orlando Magic and the Clippers after that. By the way, there is a running theme here. They all played for the Clippers for Doc Rivers again, GM Doc Rivers. And Rajon Rondo, who barely spoke during that whole thing, has played for four teams since then. None of those guys are Boston Celtic lifers. They're not Kobe Bryant, where they played an entire career in one place. It sounded petty. It sounded small. And they got to squash this beef. And it's really about Rondo and Garnett in my mind. Those two guys have got to get over themselves, call up Ray Allen, celebrate the title in 2008, and just enjoy it. Because in the Eastern Conference, it's the only title that doesn't belong to LeBron, pretty much.
We're going to talk about this a little bit more at 6:30, and our Orlando Dodge question of the night is about this. Who is the most petty basketball player right now? Who is the one you want to say, shut up? Is it one of the group in this core? Because during the era, I remember Big Baby Davis was one of the ones that everybody was like, oh my God, why are you even talking? No one cares about you on any level. At 6:30, we're going to cover that, and I want to remind you guys again, at 6:45, I'm going to tell you why Shaq may be serious about being a sheriff. Maybe right here in Central Florida. This is Live Local and Loud.
This is ESPN 580 Orlando's Live Local and Loud.
Hey, welcome back. It's Live Local and Loud here on ESPN 580. We're broadcasting from the Victory Casino Cruises Studios, home of the only legal sports book in Central Florida. You can get in touch with the show at 844-225-5580. The text is 21232. Also on Twitter, at ESPN 580 Nick. And at the Jerry Daniels. Coming up in about 13 minutes, Jerry's going to tell you exactly why Shaquille O'Neal wants to become a sheriff at 7 o'clock. We're talking Matt Harvey, right, at 7 o'clock?
Is that what we're doing? We have a family member of Matt Harvey, and I'll let him break it down for us at 7 o'clock if he chooses
to. At 7, I ask a family member of Matt Harvey whether or not he was suspended because there being a sex toy in the locker room. That's what I'm going to ask him.
I think it's deeper than that, though.
It's a poor choice of words. Let's move on here, okay? The Orlando Dodge question of the night. Who is the pettiest player? Is it just in the NBA or in professional
sports? You can expand.
Okay, so we'll go the pettiest player in professional
sports. Come on, is there any more than the NBA? I mean, isn't that enough material?
Well, we get so much personality, right? We get so much personality out of these NBA players that they kind of overshadow the rest of professional sports, because I don't get, you know, like when we talk about petty, like I don't get the same kind of post-game stuff from, let's say, the quarterbacks in the NFL as I do right in line with a game, you know, the NBA players. Like if I'm thinking NFL right now, one guy I'm thinking is like Richard Sherman. Like Richard Sherman in his heyday, and like that was not long ago, you know, intercepts that pass and he starts talking about, you know, like he starts talking about Crabtree and all that stuff. You know, he gives us the whole I'm the best, you know, player in the game or something like that. So Richard Sherman immediately comes to mind when I'm thinking petty NFL players. But in the NBA, it's like one guy. And I hate to say it because I've been talking about how great he's been these entire playoffs. It's LeBron James. Like, LeBron can be LeBron can be extremely petty.
Or is it just magnified because of who he is?
A little bit. That's fine, like a little bit. But I think the whole Phil Jackson posse thing was just pettiness on LeBron James' side. Like, here's the thing. I'd never heard, and maybe, listen, it's just my lack of knowledge when it comes to these things. I'd never thought that the word posse was a racist word, okay? I had never heard that, all right? That had never came up in 27 years of my life, all right? Posse is a word. And trust me, like growing up, it's, hey, stay away from that word, okay? You're a white guy, okay?
The P word.
Right, but like stay away from the word posse. Like I learn words all the time on the radio not to use because I don't want to offend people, all right? The word posse is not a racist word, and LeBron made it into that, and I think LeBron made it into more of that because he was still angry at the way Pat Riley handled his exit from Miami, and he was getting back at Phil Jackson for the whole Carmelo Anthony stuff, and the way that Phil has treated Carmelo there in New York. I think there is a pettiness to LeBron in the way that he has treated his team in the past. I think LeBron can be a petty teammate. He's called guys out. Look, listen, just this year, it's, hey, we got to get better. You know, we got to get better. Guys got to try. Guys got to play hard. You know, we're always ready to play hard. And part of that is motivation. Another part of it is petty as well. I think LeBron can be an extremely petty player.
That's the funny thing is the pettiest player to me for a generation got a pass because of his because of Phil Jackson. Melo.
Oh, you go Carmelo Anthony here.
Was hands down the most petty, annoying, shut the heck up, I don't want to hear any more of you. In fact, until last night's Area 21 that I really think they need to name Area 51 because it's so strange.
That is the play on words, but that's what they're doing
there. I get it. Okay. I get it. But still, the whole idea, Melo until this year he became the sympathetic figure. How bad are you, Phil Jackson, when Melo becomes the sympathetic figure? And I think that's why LeBron had to step out on that role.
It's why, I mean, Carmelo Anthony should thank Phil Jackson for turning him into that. We're all rooting for Carmelo now, right? We are. Like, Carmelo Anthony has become kind of the hero of that novel because Phil Jackson is so badly mismanaged, not just his relationship with Carmelo, but that New York Knicks team. Like, if he didn't have Kristaps Porzingis as the fourth overall pick in that draft, it would be a complete dumpster fire. Right now, it's like a small campfire.
Who doesn't even want to talk to him?
No, he doesn't want to talk to him. I don't blame him either. He's got all the leverage in that relationship. But for me, I immediately think of LeBron James and kind of the way that he's handled some of the run-ins with his teammates in the past and even the thing with Phil Jackson really does it sticks out of me. 844-225-5580. That's 844-225-5580. Text 21232. Who is the pettiest player in all of sports?
Let me explore the Area 21 thing one more time.
You want to get back
this.
Into the Celtics?
Well, I'm going to, just because,
that's fine.
Because the group of pettiness in that room was just obnoxious. All right.
Okay.
I admit in advance that I'm going to stick up for my fellow Husky. Okay, so we can get past
Ray
that.
Ray Allen, okay.
Who I literally went to school at the same time.
I believe, by the way, who is the sympathetic figure? We were talking about Carmelo. In this dynamic. Is Ray Allen the sympathetic figure?
He is now.
He is now. Leading into it, though, I think that those waters were a little muddy as to kind of how you perceived that situation and whether or not if you were okay with ring chasing, you were cool with Ray Allen. If you weren't, then Ray Allen was the guy who was wrong here. Now, I mean, as I said, to not have that guy in the room and to take pot shots like that, I thought it was a bad look for all those guys.
It was a horrible look for them. And yes, he ring chased to head down to Miami, but now maybe he was the outsider, and he just didn't want to be part of that situation. You have a guy calling in on the phone named Doc Rivers who literally figured out a way to dump Boston to head to L.A. because he did not want to be around for the rebuild.
See, that's my problem, is those guys can all comfortably criticize Ray Allen, yes, and Doc Rivers, when there was time for a rebuild there in Boston, he said, I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to go coach Chris Paul and Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan. I don't want to stick around for this young kid stuff. And I get it, because, heck, we've gone through it here in Orlando. It's not fun, and usually you get fired during it. But to question the loyalty of somebody else after your coach, the guy that you just had on and kind of, paid tribute to and joked around with, you're on good terms with, after he did what he did, I think is quite hypocritical.
Yeah, I agree. And let's go through the list here. You got Big Baby Davis, who's famous for being a head case, right? We had his own little adventures down here in Orlando.
Right, he had
with
the whole thing
registers.
In the hotel, right? He pulled it was a keyboard. It was a computer keyboard, yeah.
All right, so you got that. You got Rajon Rondo, who's famous for not being a team player, right? All of a sudden now, magically, because of two games in this year's NBA first round, all of a sudden he was the greatest thing that ever came back.
That thumb injury in the playoffs was the best thing that ever happened to Rajon Rondo this year. Rondo said it during the discussion last night at Area 21. Hey, we would have swept Boston if I had not been injured. Here's the thing. I don't know, but I watched 82 games and was meh on Rajon Rondo, right? Like, that was my opinion. If you would have said, what do you think of Rajon Rondo? I thought in December he was going to get cut.
Yeah.
All right? And all of a sudden, here we are, and he's playing like, I mean, he's playing like Pistol Pete Maravich.
He's James Dean. James Dean died young, so he must have been the greatest actor that ever lived. I'm sorry, but that's what it is.
Okay.
And we don't know the potential of that series because Rajon Rondo got a thumb injury.
If Rondo stays healthy, maybe he regresses back to the old Rajon Rondo in games 3 through whatever, and they still lose in 6. But now, the Bulls are going to pick up his option because Rondo was awesome.
Now you got Kendrick Perkins. I like Kendrick. Fun guy to watch. Retired at age, 31?
The best mean mug in the NBA for a while.
Yeah.
That's the best. Now, right now, it's Giannis Antetokounmpo. He's got the best stank face in the NBA. Perk had it.
Perk had it.
He was scary.
So the only likable figure. Oh, and by the way, KG, probably the most despicable basketball player in the entire NBA, maybe top 10 in the history of the NBA.
He was the kind of guy where if he was on your team, you loved him.
Yeah.
If he wasn't,
yeah,
you didn't, because he was kind of a dirty guy that got in other dudes' heads. He was the one who started the whole, there's a foul call, I'm going to jump up and knock the ball off the rim so no one sees it go in. There was a lot of head games with KG.
So here's what I know. The only sympathetic figure on there was Paul Pierce. And Paul Pierce wore sunglasses during the interview because he didn't want anybody to see what he was really thinking. This was basically these guys not wanting to tell KG no. And I'm going to tell you what this episode was. Area 21 is horrible. It's probably not going to be renewed. So what you saw last night was every Friends character who goes and has their own series, and that series is going to get cut. So the last-ditch effort to kind of keep that series alive is to have a reunion. This is what you saw last night. This was the Friends reunion.
And
Chandler invited everybody to come out. And the one guy wearing the sunglasses is the one guy that I had cred for that was afraid to show his real feelings, so he covered up his eyes.
Which one's Phoebe?
Ooh.
No, we're not playing that game. I was really just kind of making light of you going with a friend's...
Well, it is. They jumped the shark.
So the brilliance of that TNT show, though, is when have they ever really jumped the shark, right? I mean, there's just so much odd stuff going on, and you can't look away. You could say they jumped the shark, but then again, that whole five-man lineup there last night...
was entertaining.
That was the five-man lineup that we've talked about all day today. Not the five starting lineup of Golden State, not the Utah Jazz starting five. That five-man lineup has dominated the entire news cycle today. So, and by the way, Perkins got into one more thing. We're going to talk about Shaq being a sheriff coming up next and why he's going to do it. I'm out on this. I think that there's so much more I'd rather see than Shaq become a sheriff, and I get that he's
I'm not advocating for it.
I understand, but you're going to explain why he's doing it. I don't understand why he's doing it. And also, Kendrick Perkins maybe foreshadowed a reunion in Oklahoma City with Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. We'll talk about that as well. What needs to happen? What would be more likely to lead to a KD and Russell Westbrook reunion? The Warriors losing the title or them winning one? That's next. It's Live, Local, and Loud here on ESPN 580.
This is ESPN 580 Orlando's Live, Local, and Loud.
Hey, welcome back. It's Live, Local, and Loud here on ESPN 580. It's Jerry Daniels. I'm Nick Grunow. It's Nicky Football. We're broadcasting from the Victory Casino Cruises Studios, home of the only legal sports book in Central Florida. You can get in touch with the show at 844-225-5580. Text us 21232. Also on Twitter at ESPN 580 Nick and at the Jerry Daniels. Coming up in just a bit, we'll get into what Kendrick Perkins had to say about a potential reunion in Oklahoma City between Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. But first, Shaquille O'Neal told Atlanta media that he is thinking about running for sheriff somewhere. Either I would guess it'd be somewhere in Georgia or in the state of Florida, where I do not know. I don't understand why Shaq would do this. Shaq has a very nice cushy gig where he gets to play a rodeo clown on TNT, and maybe he's tired of that. Maybe he's tired of every time he says something, Charles Barkley, Sam McCoy here, slap you. But Shaq has said he's going to look into this and pursue it, what, in 2020?
Yeah.
Is that when it would be? Because that would be the next election cycle. I don't get why he'd do it. Jerry Daniels does. Jerry, why would Shaq do this?
There's an opening in Central Florida coming.
Okay.
And I think that he has had a good friend who's a short attorney. We'll leave it at that. And there's a couple of them, but an attorney that advertises a lot, who has approached him and other supporters, and he's asked them. And they've told him they'll support him to run for sheriff in Orange County. And you don't have to have a degree in law enforcement. You don't have to be a former police officer. You are literally a civilian when you are the sheriff. You're just the highest ranking civilian.
See,
in law
I did not know that. I thought that the sheriff is someone with a police background or with a law enforcement background.
That's almost a new thing. I mean, if you're going to count the 120 years of 30 years of U.S. history, the sheriff being a police officer is a latecomer to the group. So
what is it normally, like a businessman or something?
Yeah, it's just
honestly,
someone
like,
in the community that cares about what's going on. And the term sheriff was a appointed position from overseas under common law. And the guy who was appointed a sheriff overseas and no, I'm not talking about the Sheriff of Nottingham, was just like a sub-noble position, and that's what it's become over here in the States. Now, it's migrated to a law enforcement strictly position, but it doesn't have to be. And in theory, if you've got Demings now running for county mayor, which is not formally announced yet, but it will be, and you've got, you know, who's a police officer, then it makes sense to me that someone who's a civilian would step into the role. The sheriff role is literally a PR position. It's a management role. It's an executive role. It takes someone in a high profile position. And with the crime rates we've seen in Central Florida, maybe it would take someone like a Shaquille O'Neal to change the path of both law enforcement, bring the money and source resources that that department needs to change the tide of crime here in Central Florida.
I think if Shaq wants to bring the money and resources to a particular place here to Central Florida to help with the crime rate, and I'm not up to date on the crime rates here in Central Florida, I do not know much about this issue, which is why I'm letting you kind of express your opinion on it. Shaq can write a check.
I agree.
I would much rather that someone with experience, someone that has been here in Central Florida, would look to fill this kind of a role.
He's lived here.
Yes.
20-something years.
Yes, but Shaq is in Atlanta working for TNT.
Seasonally and part of the week.
I'm
just telling you. I mean, he gets on a plane, and so does Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley is in Phoenix the rest of the time.
Right, he's in Arizona, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Scottsdale, I guess. But so
also in Arizona,
what's the biggest conflict for law enforcement? It's connecting with the next generation. It's that disconnect with certain groups.
Right. Shaq did that thing. What was it up in the Gainesville area? Right. Where he played basketball with the sheriff and the kids on the blacktop.
He solves two problems. He connects with a group that feels that they're disconnected from the process. Mm-hmm. And he identifies with youth. I know. It's horrible, but I'm telling you right now, I think by 2019, because, I mean, this will be a year-and-a-half race, year race, he'll have fun with it, but don't be surprised if he turns serious on it if he gets the support he needs. Now,
I think that would be the toughest thing for Shaq, is being taken seriously, right? Shaq has spent a great deal of his career kind of being the big kid.
We've had comedians elected to office in the United States.
Hey, I'm not.
You had a wrestler elected governor.
I'm not here to debate past mistakes. I'm here to debate maybe a future one. That's all. And I do not know. As I've said, I do not know much about the sheriff position.
It's all about name recognition, and he has it. You put Shaquille O'Neal on a bunch of yard signs, and all of a sudden, he's got people showing up to the polls that maybe otherwise are not showing. Let's put it in perspective.
People can show up to the polls, but I don't see how that fixes any problems with crime in Central Florida. What, so more businesses want to donate money in order to help with the crime rates because Shaq is there?
Yes, 100%.
I don't know whether or not the public would back a Shaquille O'Neal to be sheriff. I think that they see the guy on NBA on TNT, you know, as kind of they did the thing last night, the going fishing thing, right?
And why is he any less qualified than we've had a real estate agent as a county mayor?
Mm-hmm.
We've had.
I'm not saying any of these were good ideas either. I don't know how successful they are, and they
could be successful or not successful. Right. But
I'm saying Shaq will have a much harder battle, an uphill battle, because of what his public perception is, which is that of kind of the big kid, the guy that for most of his career has kind of done the whole play with the media, I'm funny kind of guy.
Maybe the public thinks that a big kid is the right person to change the image of law enforcement in the United States. And he wouldn't just be elected for running the sheriff's office here. He'd be elected to kind of develop a different image of law enforcement nationwide. I'm going to tell you right now, conversations have not only happened, this is why it's kind of eerie. Not only has conversations happened with the sitting sheriff, they've happened with the one before him. So if you've got a Kevin Barry and a Jerry Demings backing Shaquille O'Neal, doesn't that change the conversation? Plus, it's both parties. So you've got a cross-section of politics and two individuals who've run the sheriff's office for 30 years saying, maybe this is the next guy for the job.
I have to stay consistent with our audience when I've said I don't have faith for Shaq to run a basketball operations department, and I would not have confidence in Shaquille O'Neal to be the sheriff and to run the police department here in Central Florida, to be in that kind of control. And maybe that is just the public perception that I'm basing this on. I do not know Shaquille O'Neal as a person. I know Shaq seems to be a very nice guy, but I don't think that means that he is kind of in a position to run a police office.
Does he manage his brand?
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay,
I don't know.
He manages his brand, and he's
I don't know. Confirmation that
I'm
he
telling
does.
You he manages his brand. He manages his identity, his personal brand. He's one of the five most profitable brands in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And he came from some of the same struggles as other individuals and managed to succeed where other NBA players had conflicts. So you almost have to ask yourself, maybe this person made right decisions, and those are the same decisions that could lead an office.
I just think there's a lot more at stake managing a police department in Central Florida than there is managing your own brand. We'll talk about another guy struggling to manage his own brand. That's Matt Harvey coming up next. He's suspended by the Mets. We'll get to the bottom of that. Live, local, and loud here on ESPN 580.